We're discussing, we're going to finish up in about 15, 20 minutes. I just want to wrap up Hadlakas Neros and a couple of Halacha Lamaisa applications, in particular when you're not at home, and how Yeshiva Bachrim deal with it, and if you're in, we discussed a little bit about being in a hotel, various other scenarios, and then we'll move on to the next topic, which will be Tosefes Shabbos. So the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch, discusses in the beginning, in Simen Reish Samech Gimel Halacha Vav, he discusses different scenarios where a person's not in his own house, and how does he deal with that? So the first case he has, I'll just read the two dinim, and then we'll try and play it out. Bachurim ha'holchem lilmod chutz labeisa. So you will have a bachur who is leaving his house. He's not staying in Shabbos by his house. So in such a case, tzrichim lahadlik near Shabbos bechedjem ulevarich alav. He would have to light neros Shabbos in his room where he's staying and make a bracha. Aval mishu eitzel ishto ein tzarich lahadrit bechedro ulevarich alav lefish ishto mevareches bishvilo. So essentially what he's saying is, again, let's talk about Yeshiva Bachrim for a minute, just as a framework. Back in the day, when if a bach would go off to yeshiva, he'd go to travel to his yeshiva where he'd be learning. He wouldn't be the dormitory phenomena. That's a brand new phenomenon. It's a very, very modern day phenomenon. In fact, who could tell me what was the first yeshiva that had a modern day dormitory in Chadar Ochel? That's right. That's right. The Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin, which the truth is, last Shabbos, we were supposed to be in the Poland trip in Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin for Shabbos. Regrettably, we couldn't experience that. But Rav Moshe Shapiro, when he inaugurated and when he built the yeshiva, his vision was that the yeshiva would take care of everything. And the Bachrim would have one and only one thing to think about, and that was their learning. There was a joke that is cited. The Rambam and the Gemara famously say that if a person really wants to accomplish himself in learning, so he should he should the Gemara says he should minimize how much he eats. It says, "Pas b'melach tochal." He should eat bread and salt, and that's it. And they say that Rav Moshe Shapiro had a different taich. What he said, he added a bitmiyah to it. Pas b'melach tochal. A person who's in yeshiva should just eat pas b'melach. That's all he should eat. Al ha'aretz tishan, he should only sleep on the floor. No, he should have proper accommodations with three meals a day, with the bed, etc. That's a very modern phenomenon. Back in the day, a bach who's traveling to yeshiva, he would live in someone's house. They would rent him a room, they would lease him a room, and then he'd go ahead and sit and learn. So in these scenarios, he wasn't really part of the house of the balabais. He wasn't a member of their household. He was letting a room. They gave him a room. They might have even fed him, but it was his room. They would have to knock on the door in order to come into the room. It was his room altogether. And in such a case, that's what the Mechaber is telling you, is that if he has what's called a cheder hamiyuchad, it's his place, then he would have a chiv in his own hadlakas neros. The modern analog to that would be when you spend Shabbos in a hotel. So when you spend Shabbos in a hotel, so then they can't come into your room and just, whenever they want. You can put the do not disturb sign on, and then you won't get house cleaning. You can do, it's your room. You've rented the room for that period of time, and that becomes what's called a cheder hamiyuchad. And once it's a cheder hamiyuchad, now you have, that's your bias for that particular Shabbos. You have a chiyuv hadlakas neros Shabbos, and that is, din number one. If, however, the poskim say, and again, it's you have to kind of pierce it through all the Shulchan Aruchs and the Mishnah Berurahs. But if you have a situation where you, let's say, have a situation where you come to a Rebbe's house for Shabbos, a classic case, you're at your Rebbe's house for Shabbos. How many of you have lit Neros Shabbos when you're by a Rebbe for Shabbos in the house? Probably not so much. So then we generally assume that even if the Rebbe gives you a room and he gives you, this is going to be your bedroom for Shabbos, but he's not telling you that that's your room. And I might not, I might keep some whatever, tchotchkes there. I might have something I might need to get. I'll knock on the door because it's not nice to knock on the door. But at the end of the day, if I need to get a tablecloth out of that room, I'm going to go ahead and take the tablecloth out of that room. It's not the same kind of cheder hamiyuchad. And when you're in someone's house for Shabbos and you're eating all your meals in that person's house for Shabbos, you're having your three meals, they're serving you, and you have a place to sleep, but it's not really a cheder hamiyuchad. So then the poskim write, you become a member of that family for Shabbos. That becomes you're part of that mishpacha for Shabbos. Once you're part of that mishpacha for Shabbos, then you would not have your own chovas hadlaka, just like the children in that house don't light their own candles, because the mother, the balas habayis, she's the one who's going to be lighting the candles, and she is going to be motzi everyone in the household, just like she does so in a typical family. When we're talking about a yeshiva situation, when you have, let's say, bachram in yeshiva, so it's reasonable to assume that they do have a cheder hamayuchad. That room is their room. You know, yes, the abayit might come in, etc. But it is a cheder hamayuchad. It's their stuff. It's their place. They've let the room for the year. Pashup shat, they would have a chovas hadlaka. The question then becomes: A, where do they light? And B, does every single person have to light? So here the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa has a very, very nice line. I like this line a lot. But he says, if you have Bachrim Hagorim Bi Yeshiva, so you have boys in yeshiva, you have girls in a pnimiya, in a seminary. He says they're chayav to light, chayav mehim b'hadlokas neros, but then he writes, v'dinam kimishpacha achas gedola. But they have a din of one big family, because they're living together, they're eating together, it's all one big family, which is a very beautiful idea. And therefore, v'tov she'echad mibnei ha'yeshiva yadlik es kol haneros kulam v'yivarech al hadlaka b'mako, therefore, it's sufficient. If it's all one big family, so just like when you have a big family, one person lights the candle and motzi everyone else, so too in yeshiva, which we're going to call one large family, so it would be sufficient if a Matt Fixler, a person who is taking a responsibility, or could be a bacher too, is going to light on everyone's behalf. And since in a yeshiva, in a typical yeshiva, everyone's eating together in the chadar ochel, so the proper place to light the neros would be in the Makom HaAchila, even if it's in a different room. Even if you're a Gova ala Gova guy and you have to go outside to get to the Chadar Ochel, but that's all considered essentially one bias. The Makom HaAchila would be the Ikar Makom Hadlaka. There would be a din of Shalom bias not to have if you need lights in the hallways, because it's comfortable. It's much more comfortable to walk if you have lights in the hallways and need lights in the bathroom. That would be a Kiyum HaMitzvah, but the bracha would be made, just like in a household, you need lights in the bathroom, you need lights in different hallways, but the Ikra HaMitzvah would be, and the bracha should be made in the Chadar Ochel. And again, our hotel analog is the same exact analog. When you're in a hotel, so then again, you have a Cheder HaMayucha. That would establish a Chiyuv on every single person in that hotel to light their own candles. Again, the Makom Hadlaka would be the Chadar Ochel, ideally, because that's where the Suda is, but every single person would have a Chovas Hadlakas Neros. Okay, interesting questions will arise. This comes up a lot when you, Mirtz Hashem, will become young married couples, but young married couples, a lot of time, I have a young married couple who lives in my neighborhood, who lives a couple of blocks away. And what ends up happening is they will often come to us for a suda or sudos, or sometimes all the sudos, but they sleep at home. So they're going to sleep at home, but they're going to eat their leil suda Shabbos in my house. So where should they light? Should they light in their house, or should they light in the home? So here, most of the poskim assume that even though their suda is going to be in the house, but their ikur makom dira, their bias, their ikur makom hadlaka is in their house, so they would light in their house, but with, of course, the proviso, as we mentioned elsewhere, that they should make sure that the light is going to be there, going to be lit, so they can get hana'a by the time they come back from the suda, or if it's not going to be lit, so to tarry a little bit in the house, so they can get hana'a from that light. So that's a little bit of the halachos that pertain to the makom hadlaka when you are in an unusual situation, when you're not home. I'll take some questions on that, and then we'll move on a little bit. Yes, Isaac.
Hi, Faye. The first one I'll focus that you're staying in.
Yeah.
Is it for like every Shabbos? Kitchen compartment. Okay. So
let's discuss all scenarios. Scenario number one: it's an in Shabbos, and there's a Rebbe who's in, and they're eating in the Chadar Ochel, and everyone's there. So very often you will have one of the wives who's going to be lighting in the Chadar Ochel, and that certainly would be okay. That's all part of the Mishpacha Achas situation. If you're in a Shabbos where the people are going to be eating in the Chadar Ochel, So again, the madrich or one appointed person, he'll light in the chadar ochel. That would be the kima mitzvah. Everyone's eating in their room, and you're still in yeshiva. Then pashup shot, you would have a chova to light in your bias. That's your bias. In your room is your bias. Now to light in your room, you might not want light in your room, but then the shared space. You know, it could very well be that, let's say, all of the Gova guys, that shared space is the living room. In other words, the hallway, etc. So for someone to go ahead, let's assume it's dangerous or it's against fire regulations and protocols to have a flame lit in the hallway. But to go ahead and turn off the lights, make the bracha, and turn them on, lichvod Shabbos would be the way to accomplish that goal. Lastly, is if you're in a situation where, again, you're sleeping in the dorms, but you're eating in someone else's house, it seems to me that that's analogous to my kids coming to eat by me for Shabbos. Your ikra makom dira would be where you're sleeping. That's where you're living, so to speak, and therefore probably to light, even with electricity, in the hallways over there. Jonathan, Yosef Avram.
That person at home, but he's not getting paid, right? He's eating out. He doesn't get home and was counterproductive because
right.
Would that be problematic?
Yeah, so that we did discuss that in one of your one of the prior shiurim. No worries, but yeah, that would be brach levatala. That would be a brach levatala and yotza schara behevsedo, and therefore we discussed using electricity as an alternative to make sure that your brach is not a brach levatala. Okay, I want to just discuss one or two more points. First of all, an interesting point that the Lubavitcher Rebbe was very well known for encouraging young girls to light Neros Shabbos. He was very, very big into that idea. You know, he's big into all Jewish women lighting Neros Shabbos. There was a big push in the same way that, you know, you have the Rebbe Mobiles encouraging boys to put on tefillin. He made a very, very strong push that the girls should light Neros Shabbos. And this push was not just made for married women. It was also made for younger girls. And in fact, if Arayom Hazeh, I believe, I don't check this too much, but if you take a look at the Friday edition of the New York Times, in the bottom of the front page is a tiny little advertisement, at least as far as I can recall, it's been there for the past 40, 50 years, reminding Jewish women to light Shabbos candles and telling them the time to light. So there was a question when the Lubavitcher Rebbe started this campaign. There was a question of whether single girls, indeed, if it's appropriate to light. And one of the things that just one would caution is that a single girl who's living at home, so pashup shat, if she's under bat mitzvah, certainly her mother should light first. Because again, her mother is the one who has the chiyuv. Assuming that, again, as we've mentioned, we are dominated by electric lights, and that's what really provides most of our illumination. So as a result, it would be better once we're saying that so there's a nice candle that's going to go ahead and provide some spiritual light, but it would be best if the bas chiyuva, the bar mitzvah aged woman or the mother light first. Then, if the girls want to light, again, we saw that Rama that says Tosefes Or would enhance the Kiyuma Mitzvah, and that would be appropriate. But that's something that, again, some have written post once after that campaign. Some wrote that perhaps it is not the best idea for single women or certainly below Bat Mitzvah age women to light. I just want to find something in the Aruch HaShulchan. One second, please. So I have a quote in Aruch HaShulchan, and I have one handy. I just want to remind myself what he says. In Reish Sama Gimel Sivkat and Zion. Yeah, so he quotes over here that Uvnos Yisrael Nogos Levare Kol Achaz Ba'atzma Af Kishen Eitzel Iman. So there was a minog that Benos Yisrael would light Neros Shabbos even when they were with their mothers. And Af Shahabal in Mavarek V'somech Al Birchas Ishto. Yoter, Miu al kol ponim lo yivarchu shtayim b'menorah achas. In other words, the Aruch HaShulchan is saying that really, again, if you, everyone's lighting, and this is often what happens, and again, this is why some people didn't think this was such a great idea. The mother lights his nice big menorah. Maybe she has seven kids, so he's got 9 candles, and then the daughter's going to light these 2 little candles right below that do nothing, that are de minimis compared to what the mother's lighting. So is that a bracha levatala? So the Aruch HaShulchan is saying that perhaps it's better, it would be better for the mother, for the kids to light in their own room in a different place and provide light in those other rooms that need it, and then certainly that bracha would be appropriate. But again, the minhag in many, many communities, not just Chabad communities, is that there are young girls who do light and they will write next to their mother, and there is certainly yesh makom lahakel based on the Ramah. Okay, one other little detail of important halachos, and that is we discussed yesterday at great length the idea that when you light candles, that's your Kabbalah Shabbos. There's one just important set of halachos that comes up in Reis Samech Gimel over here as well, and that is that, again, when we're going to discuss Kabbalah Shabbos in more detail, but let's say you're in a community. How many of you live in a community where there's only one shul? Right, none of you. Memphis, how many shuls we got? 3, 4? Okay, so that's our smallest community.
We want all 3 numbers.
Okay, so Memphis is a small community, and they still have 2-3 shuls. It's pretty rare to find a community that just has one shul. It would be a very special thing. But there is a din in Shulchan Aruch that if you had such a scenario, where there's it's a small community or even a big community, but everyone, there's only one shul in town. So then the halacha is that once Rov of the Kohal is Mekabel Shabbos, then the Miut is Nimshachim Achareyem Afilu Bal Korcham. In other words, this is found in Reis Samech Gimel Yud Beis. So this is a relevant halacha. Even today it's not as relevant, but for example, let's say you're in a camp. So in camp, the camp is its own little community. Let's say the camp is, you know, in the summertime, there's a lot of little kids, whatever, they want to make an early Shabbos. So the camp is making early Shabbos. Now you have these husbands that are coming up from the city, and they're coming up, they worked, and they're coming up to make, presumably, regular Shabbos. The halacha is that in a scenario where it's like one community, one kehila, and everyone is kind of bound by Rov HaKol, if the kohol there is making early Shabbos, then everyone becomes bound by that early Shabbos. If there's multiple shuls, some make late, some make early, so then every person can do what he wants. But if you're in that kind of scenario, a bungalow colony, a summer camp, or if you're in, I don't know, you're in bells for Shabbos, and they all follow the bells of Rebbe, and he's making an early Shabbos, and everyone makes early Shabbos, and you say, like, I'm not ready for that. I want to make late Shabbos. If it's a kehila where everyone's doing the same thing, then you become bound by their communal Kabbalah Shabbos. In that vein, there is a very fascinating, pretty long tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein, which again I put down over here. It's found in Orach Chaim Gimel Siman Lamed Ches. And Rav Moshe was asked, what if the husband, he wants to make an early Shabbos, he wants to Mekabel Shabbos early, and he's often, again, he's running out to shul, and as often is the case, the wife is not ready yet because she's got so many responsibilities. She's cooking and this, that, the other thing. And she's just coming out of the shower and she's got to put up the plata and this and that and the other thing. So is she halachically bound by the husband's Kabbalah Shabbos? Does that bind her? So Rav Moshe has a long tshuva and he discusses a lot of different details. But one thing that I found very interesting is, in general, we know that when a woman is... When a couple gets married, typically speaking, for example, if a Sephardic woman marries a Yeki, the Yeki waits 3 hours between meat and milk. The Sephardic woman only waits 6. So the classic minhag is that the woman, in terms of minhagim, will follow the minhagim of the husband. And that's generally the case. So does that apply over here? Does it apply over here when if the husband wants to make early Shabbos, so that becomes his nihug, and now she is bound by his practice, by his minhag. So Rav Moshe says, step number one is, well, it depends. Why is he accepting Shabbos early? What's his motivation? If his motivation is all week long. He wants to get a good night's sleep. He doesn't want to wait for Maariv until 8:30, then sit down to suit at 9. He wants to start Shabbos early, so he can get to sleep, so he can what have you. So his motivation is purely convenience. It's not a frum motivation. It's not a stark motivation. It's not a halachic motivation. It's a motivation out of convenience. Under those circumstances, says Rav Moshe, she's not at all bound by his convenience. That's his convenience, not her convenience. He's not bound by that. She's not going to be bound by that at all. That's not a minhag. If his minhag is aus frumkeit, he wants to see Shabbos. He wants to make an early Shabbos because he wants to start the kedushas haShabbos early. So in that scenario, that's already a function of a real minhag, of a real practice, of a real hanhaga. And then arguably, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, she might be bound to him. She would be bound to him, in fact. And further, he argues that any time she is doing something for him, in other words, a woman has certain shibudim that she has to her husband. Part of the ksuva, part of the marriage relationship, he has obligations that he's required to do for her. She's got obligations that she's required to do for him. And among those obligations, if one of those obligations, let's say, is part of what is found in Maseches Ksuvas, she has to prepare meals, etc. So in that sense, there's like a kinyan, so to speak. She's konui to those things, and as a result, that could, in theory, bind her to his Kabbalah Shabbos again. But if it's just he's just being Mekabel Shabbos out of his own convenience, then Rav Moshe says that would not bind her, and is often the case. The husband is Mekabel Shabbos early, he's running off to shul, the wife is not yet ready yet, that in general would be okay. One last halacha I do want to mention in this context, and that is, if I am Mekabel Shabbos early, again, very relevant in the springtime when we change the clocks and people start being Mekabel Shabbos early. Did you guys, is there early Shabbos by you guys where you are right now? Do you have early Shabbos?
Not yet.
Okay. Let's say you're Mekabel Shabbos early. Are you allowed to ask a Jew to do malacha for you?
Yeah.
Who said yes? Dovi Lap said yes. Okay, that's a pretty good answer. The Shulchan Aruch says as follows: Rei Sama Gimel Halacha Yud Zayin. Yesh Omer, Mi Shekibel Alav Shabbos Kodem Shechashecha, Mutter Lomar LiYisrael Chavero Lasos Lo Malacha. He's allowed to ask another Jew. He can't ask a Goy, by the way. He can't ask, well, I shouldn't say that. Ben Ashmashos, he might be allowed to ask a Goy, depending on the scenario. But the Shulchan Aruch says he's allowed to ask another Jew to do malacha for him. Umutr lehenos meosam malacha b'shabbos. He's allowed to get hanar from that malacha. And that seems to be the simple psak in Shulchan Aruch, that amira liyehudi is permissible. In other words, for me it's Shabbos, but for him it's not Shabbos. I'm allowed to ask him to do malacha for me. That would be mutter meikar adin. I have sometimes used this halacha as a kula when sometimes we have in yeshiva, some guys are holding 2 days of yantif in Eretz Yisrael, and other guys are holding 1 day of yantif. Can a person who's only holding 1 day of yantif do malacha for another? So again, there's two different ways of understanding this halacha that we just learned. But one of the ways of understanding this halacha is that there's no iser whatsoever if I'm really Yehudi, because that's not a common case of lo gazur be rabbanon. And if that's how you understand it, then there'd be no iser on a Yom Tov Sheni to receive malacha, if you will, from someone who's only keeping 1 day, assuming he has a heter to keep 1 day. And that might be an application, halacha lamaisa, of this din. Okay, that's all I wanted to share on Hadlakas Neros and this part of Kabbalah Shabbos. I'll take any questions, and then we'll move on to a new, at least get started with a new sugya. Go ahead. Yes, Shlomo? When you say unofficial, what do you mean?
They don't announce it. Like, people go. They want to go.
But it's with rabbinic.
It's in the shul.
The shul's open, and people. Yeah. Is there a reason that they don't advertise it?
The 40 people probably come on your average Friday night, so they want most people to come to the normal meeting.
Right.
The minion is like kind of 10 to 15 people, so they want like everyone going there.
I understand. Yeah, I think it's fine. I think that's fine. That sounds fine to me. Okay. Isaac. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I should have mentioned that. When you have a cheder miyuchad, you have your own cheder. So again, like we saw by Neros Chanukah, you have two options. One option is going to be to light your own candle, but you can also be mishtatef in the hadlaka of the mishpacha. So by you going ahead and, let's say, buying a chelak of the Neros, or a chelak of the oil, you give them a shekel, you give them a dollar, now you become a shutaf in that hadlaka, and it becomes your hadlaka as well. Okay, libel, yes.
Why is the halacha when most people just do it?
What, one more time?
Rabbi, you said it's what happens if Rove at the same time, but they're in different shuls.
Right, I think it's not. It's more a function. I'm not sure it's a function of, I said Rove, and that is what the language of the Shulchan Aruch, but I think it's when you know, if there are multiple options, you know, the community gives you multiple options. We have an early minion, we have a late minion, you have multiple options. Then I think you're not kafuf. You're independent. You can do what you want. You're not kafuf to any one person or one shul. If it's again, like I mentioned, the Belzer Rebbe, you know, the whole community does one thing. In Visions, they all do one thing. In the camp, they all do one thing. Then I think you would be bound by the practice of the kehila. It's not going to be as relevant when you have multiple kehilas. Okay.
And secondly, when we were talking about that New York Times, just a Kabbalah, would it be worse or just like you did a Kabbalah and then they're breaking through?
Either way, Shabbos is Kviya V'Kaima. You know, once Shabbos starts, once Shkia comes, it is Shabbos. So whether they, you know, I think the mitzvah will, you know, is still worthwhile. In other words, yes, even if they're lighting, I think if you're saying, let's say they light and dafka, then they do some malacha, so they're doing more malacha. I hear it, but I think again the Rebbe would have argued that the schuyos of lighting the neros is and perhaps the inspiration that could bring would override. William.
Everyone today like wine.
Okay, so that brings us to our next topic, which is Tosefes Shabbos, and that's a good topic to discuss. Liba will come back to you. I want to introduce this, and it's a very, very famous sugya. There's a very, very famous chakira with a lot of famous nafkaminas. So we're going to start, and again, it'll go to a lot of issues. We're going to get into it via a halacha in Hilchos Nida, actually. Then we'll get into Hilchos Pesach, but we'll travel through Hilchos Yontif as well. We'll get into Hilchos Sfiras HaOmer as well, and we'll certainly get into Hilchos Shabbos. So it's going to span a lot of things, but we all know, correct, as Will points out correctly, the minug, at least in the New York area, on the East Coast, is candlelighting is assigned as 18 minutes before Shkia. In Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh, candlelighting is 40 minutes before Shkia. Different minhagim, when candlelighting is, but all of those earlier times before Shkia, is because we have a mitzvah, according to many Rishonim, although not all Rishonim, mitzvah d'oraisa of Tosefes Shabbos. The mitzvah d'oraisa of Tosefes Shabbos is going to be learned from a sugya in Maseches Yuma. We'll have to look at that Gemara, but when we see that Gemara, you'll notice that the Torah, when it describes Yom Kippur, it tells us, v'inisim es nafsho seichem, b'tisha ba'erev, me'erev ad erev, you have to do inui. So listen to that pasuk again. V'inisim es nafsho seichem, mitisha ba'erev. And then it says, me'erev ad erev, inui es nafsho seichem. So, mitisha ba'erev. But Yom Kippur only starts on yud ba'erev. So from here, the Gemara learns, Mikan shetosefes yoma kippurim d'oraisa. There is a chiyuv d'oraisa, not just to start Yom Kippur exactly on the 10th, but there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to start Yom Kippur mitisha ba'erev, in the evening of the 9th. How much? The Gemara doesn't say. But you start Yom Kippur early, and that is a din d'oraisa. Now, the Torah says that explicitly by Yom Kippur. The Gemara seems to say, we'll look at that Gemara next time, but the Gemara seems to say that also will apply to Yontif and Shabbos. And again, a very dominant theory in many Rishonim is that the din of Tosefes, adding on Michol ala Kodesh, is a chiv d'oraisa. Everyone agrees by Yom Kippur. And many, many agree that applies to Shabbos and Yom Tov as well. Which is then going to lead to a very, very famous Chakira. We'll spend a little time on that. We'll start today. We'll pick it up in greater detail on Sunday, Mirtz Hashem. But so you have this little swatch of time. Let's say Shabbos begins at 6 o'clock. But we're going to start our Shabbos as a Tosefes. So that means that Shabbos is going to start, let's say, the 18 minutes at 5:42 as Hadlakas Neros. So the question becomes, what is that status? I'm Mekabel Shabbos. A, do I have to be Mekabel Shabbos, or is it automatic? Pashup Shah Tosefes Shabbos demands of me to do something, to be Mekabel Shabbos. So I have to Mekabel Shabbos early. I'm Mekabel Shabbos. Now, what is the status of that time when it's not really astronomically Shabbos yet? It's not cosmological Shabbos, but I have been Mekabel Shabbos. Is that fundamentally Shabbos? And there's a Kedushas Hayom to that calendaric unit of time called Tosefes, and it's Shabbos L'chol Davar. Or perhaps it's not really Shabbos, it is just Aser Basias Malacha. I can't do Malacha, but I'm not going to call that really bona fide Shabbos. Some of Farshim will formulate it in the following way. Do we see this as real bona fide Shabbos, or I took upon myself like a neder? I took a neder that now this period of time, it's a chiv to take this neder, but this period of time is now usser b'malacha, but it's not that it's really, really Shabbos. So I'll give you one example and a very, very great and awesome bir hagra. And this bir hagra becomes like our jumping point into the sugya. So there is a halacha that I'm going to introduce to you now, but you don't have to know about it because you're too young. And the halacha is something called when a woman wants to start counting. A woman's a nida, and when she wants to start, her bleeding is concluding, and after she finishes her bleeding, she has to count what's called shiva nikim. She needs 7 clean days. That's learned out from the dinim of a zava needs 7 clean days. So modern day nidos also have to count 7 clean days. So she has to go through this process which is called a Hefsek Tahara. The Hefsek Tahara is where she does an internal examination and determines herself to be no longer bleeding. There's no longer blood there. And from that point on, now she did a Hefsek, a separation. And now she can count her Shiva Nikim. And now begins the count of Shiva Nikim. So what that means is the halacha demands that a woman we'll do a Hefsek Tahara, but the Hefsek Tahara has to be done before Shkia. It absolutely must be done before Shkia, because if it's done after Shkia, then she loses that day. Now, she wants to count that first day as part of her Shiva Nikim. So she needs a Hefsek before Shkia. Now she does the Hefsek, she turns out to be clean. Now she can count her Shiva Nikim. Is that halacha clear? Okay, that is found in the Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Kuf Sadi. I have to find it for a second. Let me just, I'm going to look 1 second. How do I shrink? Okay, that din in the Ramah is found, is in Yeredeh Kuf Sadi Zayin Halacha Aleph. And I'm going to read it to you right now because the nuances are very important, and then the Bir Agra is phenomenally important. So the halacha goes like this. A woman, did I say Kuvtzari Zayin? No, Kuvtzari Vav, sorry. Kuvtzari Vav Halacha Alef. Okay, says Machaber. So the Shivas Yom Shazava Soferis Matchil Mimachras Yom Shapaskabo Vikach Mishpatosh. So she does a Hefsek and then she starts counting. Says the Ramah, Yesh Omrim, there are those who maintain that Im Hispalalu HaKohol Arvis, if the Tzibur already daven Mariv, Ve'od Hayom Godol, but it's still fully daytime, but they daven Mariv early, as happens in a lot of shuls. Eina yechola livdok. It's too late for her to do a hefsek tahara. Ulahatchil limnos miyom amachras me'achar dehakohol kvar osa oso laila. By the tzibur davening mariv, so she can no longer do a hefsek because the kol is already daven mariv. So the kol has already turned this into laila, into the next day. And once it's turned into the next day, she can no longer do a hefsek tahara. Now that's, he's saying, even on chol, which is amazing. Now, pashup shot, what kind of kohol is he talking about? He's talking about that same type of din that we mentioned a moment ago, is that if you have that, let's say, that very small community where everyone is doing the same thing, so then she will become kafuf and bound to the turning of the day of the community, the yesh omrim. And then he quotes a yesh omrim. The mutter, afilu us, the yesh omrim, the mutter, it's okay. Afilu osu hakol Shabbos. Even if the kohol was mekabel Shabbos already, it's still permissible. V'noagim lechatchilu lizoher ubiti eved ein lachush. And then she says, lechatchilu women should be do their hefsek tahara before the kohol is mekabel Shabbos, but biti eved ein lachush. So that's the din. That's the din here in Shulchan Aruch. Now the Vilna Gaon in the Bir Agra in classic style. The Bir Agra was an absolute, they don't call Rav Eliyahu Mivilna the Gaon for nothing. So the Bir Agra on this Ramah, all he does a very, very simple thing. What he says is as follows. Yesh omrim de mutter, some say even if the kohol accepted Shabbos early, she could still do a hefsek. Ayin tosfus ksuvus mem zayin of aleph divrei masel domasar. Upsachim tzadi tesmet beis diver maschel ad ubrachas chav zayin amet beis iboiluhu, and that's it. And he brings us three marmakomos, and that's and all over shas. This halach and hilchos nida is all linked to a tosin psachim, a tosin ksuvis, and a gemara in maseches brachos. And he basically says that from here these sugis you learn out to lashar dvarim. When it comes to other matters that is not shaykh to Shabbos, for sure it's not called nighttime. You can no way you can call it Laila, and that is the Gra. So it would behoove us to really understand what the Gra is talking about and to look at Ksuvis, Brachas, and Psachim. And since it is Erev Shabbos HaGadol, we will just take a quick look right now at Psachim. And then we'll save the rest for next week. I'm pulling out my Gemara Pesachim. This is the first sugya, really, in the tenth parak in Arve Pesachim. And the Mishnah, as you're probably familiar with, tells us that Arve Pesachim samach lemincha lo yochal adam ad shetekshach. On Erev Pesach, when it's almost when it's towards the end, samach lemincha, you shouldn't eat. You shouldn't eat ad she techshach, until nighttime. So Tosis is bothered by those two words. You shouldn't eat until nighttime. Ad she techshach, until it gets dark. Tosis wants to know, well, why can't you eat before it gets dark? Let me ask you a question. Yemirtz Hashem, we're all going to sit at the Leil HaSeder this Wednesday night. What, any of you making early Pesach this year? Some of you told me you're making early Shabbos. What about early Pesach? I'll tell you what you're doing. I promise you, none of you is making an early Pesach. I promise you, it's not going to happen. None of you is making an early Pesach. Why not? Because we have a Gzeres HaKosev that it says that when it comes to the Korban Pesach, and I don't know if you're going to be eating Korban Pesach this year, but it says by the Korban Pesach, V'ichles HaBasar B'Laila HaZeh, that the Basar HaKorban has to be eaten B'Laila. And iskash, we have a hekesh, that since the carbon, the basar carbon is eaten together with a matzah sumorim yochluhu, so the matzah also can only be eaten balayla hazeh. And since matzah is lechem she'onim olav dvarim harbin, is linked to the magid, and is linked to the arbakosis and everything else, all the dinim of the Leil HaSeder have a din of balayla hazeh. And therefore, our practice is to wait until nightfall to go ahead and have our Haggadah, our Seder, our everything, and that's the case. Now, Tosis is bothered. It's Tosis Dimasla Ad Shetekshach. Why do you have to wait till nighttime? After all, every other Yontif, Leil Shabbos, you can make Shabbos early. So he quotes the Rimi Kurbil, the Gabe Matzah, Davka Ba'inan Ad Shetechshach, as I just explained. Kedetanya Betosefta HaPesach U'Matzah Mar Mitzvasa Mishetechshach. As the Pasuk says, Ve'ichos HaBasa Balayla Zeh, U'Matzah Mar Iskshu HaPesach, Avasuda Shabbos V'Yontif, Matzi Achol Mibod Yom. But your regular Friday night meal, your regular Yontif night meal, you can eat Mibod Yom. Kedaron Peret Fils HaShachar. Ooh, that's the Gemara Brachas that the Vilna Gaon quoted, where the Gemara there says, "Mispalo Adam shel Shabbos be'erev Shabbos ve'omer Kiddush hayom mibod yom," that you're allowed to daven marv early on Leil Shabbos, which many of us do, and you can make Kiddush early. So the Rimi Kurbil says you can only on a regular Friday night you can make Shabbos early. You can make a no problem just on Leil Pesach because the Gzeres HaKosav Ad Shetech Shach you're not allowed to. Okay, and then the end. You want a daven marav? Daven marav. I don't care about your marav. You daven marav, and then you sit and learn in shul for an hour and a half, and then you go to your haggadah. Then you go to your seder. You can daven marav early, but you can't start your haggadah early. That's the position of the Rimi Kurbil. Then Tosfos says, V'Rabbeinu Yehuda tirates, afilu gabe shabbosos v'yom tovin ad shetechshach. Even on a Leil Shabbos and a Leil Yontif, you're not allowed to start early. You have to wait until Ad Shetechshach. You need nightfall. And Chacha, it's trich lemisni de osla shmina de afagav de shkitas haptos ptoch mi bod yom enernechel mi bod yom kashar kotshim v'chein biyushalmi. In other words, what Tosis is bothered by is those two words. Why does it say you're not allowed to eat until Leil Pesach nighton, Ad Shetechshach? So Tosa says, answer number one is the Rimi Kurbil. This is a chiddush over here, Gzeres HaKosav, Ichlos HaBosa Balayla Hazeh, and therefore the chiddush of Ad Shetechshach is, you're right, Ein Hachanami, Matzah, Maror, Haggadah, Arba Kaisas, everything requires Balayla Hazeh. You cannot make Yontif early on Pesach, but any other Yontif, you want to make Shabbos early, you want to make the last days of Pesach early, No problem. This is a din in the first Seder. And then says Rabbeinu Yehuda at the end of Tosfos, well, maybe not. Maybe there's something more fundamental over here. And then maybe there's a din that you have to wait for nightfall also by Shabbos and also by Yontif, and you can never start your Suda early. That's a universal halacha. So why does it say Ad Shetechshach in this Mishnah by Pesach? Because Mirtz Hashem, on Erev Pesach, what are you doing? You bring a carbon Pesach. So you already brought the carbon. You already shechted the meat. You're already roasting the meat. So you might think that I can start my Sudas Yontiv Kolel carbon Pesach Miba Erev. Kamashma Alon Ad Shetechshach. But what emerges from this Tosfos is a pretty fundamental machlokes, and that is whether on a typical Friday night you can start your Sudas Shabbos early. According to Rimi Kurbil, for sure, why not? No problem. According to the Rabbeinu Yehuda, it's mashma. You can accept Shabbos early, I have no problem with that. But your Sudas Shabbos, you can't have a Sudas Shabbos while it's Od Hayom Gadol, while the sun is out. That doesn't make any sense. So this is machlokes number one. And we'll see this machlokes repeated in a number of different iterations. But the Hezbra HaMachlokes, again, according to most, it's a Taz and Marshal that runs through all of Hilchos Yontif, is what is the nature of Tosefes Shabbos? When we make Shabbos early, this is how the Taz formulates it. We'll have to see these Tazes inside. But the Taz says, when you make Shabbos early, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a tremendous power, especially if we assume Tosefes Shabbos is Doraisa, is you have the ability to flip the calendar. To literally, as an NCSY Ruach, pre-Shabbos Ruach will say, to turn Friday into Shabbos. You have the ability to transform the day. And once you transform the day, it's no longer Erev Shabbos. It is Shabbos. And once it's Shabbos, all mitzvos of Shabbos kick in. So even though the mitzvah of Kiddush has to be on Shabbos, even though the mitzvah of Suda has to be on Shabbos, good, it's Shabbos. It's sunny out. It still looks like on my secular calendar it's Friday daytime. No, you have the ability of our v'cholaf hayom to transform the day. That's how the Taz formulates it. L'chora, that's what the Rimi Korbil is saying. L'chora, the Deya in the Ramah, in Hilchos Nida, that says that once the Tzibur has been Mekabel Shabbos, once they've said Baruch Hu, once she has been Mekabel Shabbos, so then she can't do a Hefsek Tara anymore. Why? Because it's a new day. She will not have Shiva Nakim. This day, it's Shabbos. It's no longer Friday, and therefore, it's too late to do a Hefsek Tara. What does Rabbeinu Yehuda say? Rabbeinu Yehuda says no. It's a much more modest position in Tosefes Shabbos. Rabbeinu Yehuda argues that you have a chiyuv to be Mekabel Shabbos. What does that mean? I am now being Mekabel Shabbos, and for me now, I'm also b'malacha. I can't light a match, I can't cook, I can't do these things. Does that mean it's now cosmologically Shabbos? It's not cosmologically Shabbos, it's still sunny out, it's still Erev Shabbos, it's Erev Shabbos with an Isser Malacha. And that, l'chora, is the position of Rabbeinu Yehuda, which means that if I have to have three sudos on Shabbos, because the Torah tells me by the mon, v'ichlu hayom, hayom lo timtza basadeh, and it's three times hayom is triggering in me a chiyuv to have three meals hayom on Shabbos. It's not hayom now. It's Erev Shabbos with an Issur Malacha. And that would seem to be this chakira, and that's what the Vilna Gaon is going to be alluding to. I'll just mention one other nafka mina just quickly, and then we'll discuss it in further detail next time. But if you take a look at that Tosis and Ksuvis Mem Zayin. So Tosis and Ksuvis Mem Zayin, it's an interesting sugi. We'll look at it inside. But Tosis wants to know, if you're Mekabel Yontif early, is there a problem of having a Sudas Nisuin? Is there a problem of getting married during Tosefes Yontif? What's the issue? You can't get married on Yontif. That's Aser. You can't get married on Chol HaMoed. That's Aser. Why? Because we have a din called Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. You're not allowed to commingle one simcha with another simcha. After all, if you're going to get married on Yontif, you're going to be so into Yontif, you're not going to probably be into your wedding. Or the reverse. You might be so into your wedding that you won't appreciate the unique simcha of Yontif. One of the two. But you can't commingle. You can't dilute one simcha with another simcha. So says Tosas, but what about during Tosefes Yontif? Let's see Mekabel Yontif early. And during that Zman of Tosefes, you want to make a quick wedding. And then you'll have Sheva Brachas as your Yontif meal. Is that a problem of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha? You see, if you maintain that Tosefes Yontif, it's not Yontif. It's Nisa Malacha, but it's not Yontif. So the Itzumo Shalyom is only when the cosmology changes, when it's astronomically the next day. But now you have a Nisa Malacha, but it's not Yontif, so there's no problem in having a wedding. If, however, you assume that no, avar v'cholaf hayom, and now it's yontif v'chol proteha v'dineha, including v'samachta b'chagecha, so then you'd have this halacha v'ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. So Bez Hashem, we will pick this up next time. Will, yeah, what do you got?
Uh-huh.
Yep.
So how does that thing that was required for Tosefes Shabbos?
According to what we're saying, it wouldn't have Kedusha Shabbos. In other words, the Cheftza of Shabbos only begins at night. You have a din gavra of Isser Malacha, but the Itzumo Shel Yom of Shabbos only begins when Shabbos really begins. Okay, boys. Yashakoyach. I want to wish everyone